Isaiah chapter number 9 tonight. Isaiah chapter number 9. The Word of God is full of wonderful truth. Some verses are just absolutely full. I remember 8 years ago when we came here, I preached a series of six messages off this one verse, verse 6. And talking about His name shall be called. Let's look at Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, I'm not going to preach the series again, okay? I just want to take a look at that very first name tonight, because as I said, this verse is so full. I want us to examine, though, and think about the first name, the Wonderful, and what a name it is. The word translated Wonderful means literally miracle. Miracle. It comes from a root word that means to separate or to distinguish, to be great, be full of wonder. That's what I like, full of wonder. And I want to speak tonight on the one who is full of wonder, or the one who is wonderful. It's a word, or in this instance, a name, that is used to describe that which is otherwise indescribable. You ever had an experience that you lacked for words to try to describe it to somebody? And say, well, you just would have had to been there. You know, I can't put it into words how wonderful it was. It's just, you would have had to been there. That's what this word is talking about. That which is otherwise indescribable, or that which leaves you in awe. You're just amazed at the one. It's really the most fitting word or descriptive name that is used to describe our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a passage over in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 that says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. And it says, God was manifest in the flesh. And when you think about wonderful, and you think about the matter of God being manifest in the flesh, I mean, that is a wonderful thing. It is. Some say that wonderful is just an adjective describing the next name. They say the first name is Wonderful Counselor. That's not the way I see it. It's wonderful. And yes, he's counselor too. We know that Jesus is a wonderful counselor, and I'm not denying that, but he's also in many and varied ways, he is wonderful or full of wonder. Wonderful describes just who Jesus is, just like the other four names that are listed do. And as I said, the Hebrew word translated wonderful means a miracle. And how fitting is that? He didn't just perform miracles. He was himself a miracle. And just the person of Jesus Christ, when you think about him, you think about his person, it causes great amazement and wonder in the mind and heart of a person as they dwell upon who Jesus really is. Yeah, so some people just kind of whiff on it. They, you know, well, yeah, Jesus is a good person. No. We're talking about God in the flesh here. We're talking about a miraculous thing that happened. I think we all know from history the name Napoleon Bonaparte. Napoleon is reported to have said this about Christ. He said, I know men, and I tell you that Jesus Christ is not just a man. Everything about him amazes me. His spirit overawes me, and his will confounds me. There is no possible comparison between him and any other being in the world. He is truly a being by himself. His birth, the history of his life, the profoundness of his doctrine, his gospel, his march across the ages, All these are to me a wonder, an insoluble mystery. He said, Alexander, Caesar, and Charlemagne and I have founded empires, but on what did the creations of our genius rest? On force. Jesus Christ alone founded his empire on love. And at this hour, millions would die for him. He says, I am at St. Helena. I die before my time. Him whom the world called the great Napoleon. So what an abyss between my deep misery and the eternal reign of Christ, which is proclaimed, loved, adored, and which is extending over all the earth. That's quite a statement about the Lord Jesus Christ. Truly, our Lord Jesus Christ is someone who is full of wonder. And in fact, we could never exhaust the wealth of truths that rest in that one magnificent name of Jesus. I could preach every day, all day, and would really never run out of things to say about this one who is truly wonderful, above all that's ever been called or will ever be called wonderful. And I want us to take a look at that name, Wonderful, this evening. And I want you, as we look at this, let it sink down deep into your heart. Okay? I really want you to think about the Lord Jesus Christ and His person. And as it sinks down in your heart, I think it'll change your perspective of Him. And once again, you know, I want our knowledge of Him to be deeper and broader and wider and higher. You know, Jesus Christ ought to never be boring to a child of God. This ought not to be. And as we read and study what the Bible says about Jesus, our hearts ought to be full of wonder because He is wonderful. So as we approach Christmas Day this Sunday, let's look at how wonderful Jesus really is. First thing I want you to see, there is the wonder of fulfilled prophecy. When you just think about this, just this one point, just think about it. According to the author Josh McDowell, I got the book in my library in here called Evidence That Demands a Verdict by Josh McDowell. Josh, he said, there are over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament about the coming Messiah that were fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to think about how truly profound that reality is. 300 prophecies. We're not talking about one person making the prophecies and, you know, there being some manipulation of when that was written, and they, you know, it was written after he was on the earth and, you know, tried to make it look like it was old. That's not the way it was. We're talking about throughout the Old Testament, different writers, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, wrote as the Holy Spirit gave them movement, wrote these prophecies, predicted these things about the Messiah. Fulfilled prophecy is one of the great proofs of the deity of Jesus. It's one of the great proofs of showing that He is who He said He was. Amen. God began to prepare the world for the coming of Jesus with a multitude of prophecies in the Old Testament concerning Him. Christ is, we know, you know, right up front in the Bible, when you get to Genesis chapter number 3, you got the very first prophecy, Genesis 3, verse 15, where God said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That was the Lord speaking to the devil, okay? The serpent in the garden. Christ is the promised seed in the very first prophecy of Him in the Garden of Eden. Christ was spoken of and typified throughout all the Old Testament scriptures. Remember when Jesus arose from the grave and He's walking on the road to Emmaus, and those two disciples, they were kind of blinded as to who Jesus really was, walking with Him. And He tells them there in Luke 24, verse 25 through 27, He said, then He said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So he went back and pulled all those prophecies up and said, look, you know, this is talking about me. This is talking about me. This is talking about me. Now, you know, you just not believe in the scripture. Christ fulfilled some very specific prophecies. Some related to his birth, some related to his life and ministry, some related to his death and burial, some related to his resurrection and his ascension. But the great wonder is that all these specific prophecies were fulfilled in one person. One. And that's Jesus Christ. And one cannot deny the wonder of the person of Jesus Christ, seeing that all these prophecies came true to the letter in his very life. That's what you call full of wonder. Amen. That's what you call wonderful. As believers, we should never grow tired of seeing the Lord Jesus pointed to throughout the whole Bible. When we were studying in Sunday school, it's been a while back, a few years back now, we were in the book of Exodus, taking a look at the journeys of the children of Israel through the wilderness, all the way to the Canaan land. And we saw so many pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ just right in the tabernacle that God had given them. He's pictured in that whole thing. And it was just amazing to me to study that and to come to understand that. All of this Old Testament scripture that a lot of folks just avoid. There's a lot of people that they don't deal with the Old Testament. I said, well, you know, we're not in the Old Testament anymore. We deal with the New Testament. Listen, the Old Testament points to the New Testament, supports it in such a way that you're missing out big time by not getting into the Old Testament. Because the Old Testament scriptures paint a marvelous picture of God's Son, and they were all fulfilled in that one solitary life of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's the wonder of fulfilled prophecy. Second of all, there's the wonder of the virgin birth. Now, we know there's been other births that cause one to wonder. I mean, in the Old Testament, Isaac's birth to Abraham and Sarah. And when you talk about somebody that's 90 years old having a baby, be like Miss Gertrude or she's back there shaking her head, no. Or Miss Betty. And both of these ladies turned 90 this year. We celebrated their birthdays. But can you imagine them finding out they're with a child at this age? That would be a miraculous birth. Abraham was 100. Sarah was 90. Yeah, they probably have a few more choice words for what it would be. but John the Baptist's birth to Zacharias and Elizabeth. You know, it doesn't tell us what their ages were. It just says they were barren, and you know, she was barren, and they were both well stricken in years. That means they were old. Okay? But listen, no other birth has caused such wonder as the birth of Christ. I mean, here Isaiah, if you flip back a page, Isaiah 7:14 said, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign." And this is one of the prophecies, the prophecy of the birth of Christ. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive, bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. He was not born by genetic engineering, but he was born by God's engineering. Amen. Through the virgin birth. I mean, the virgin birth was a miracle. It's too awesome for us to really understand or figure out. I mean, to this day, you got to have two sets of chromosomes, 23 chromosomes, two sets of 23 chromosomes to make a human being. One set from the mama, one set from the daddy. That's just the way things are. And today, doctors that we know are trying to mess around with the process and trying to get it to where it doesn't have to need a daddy in the process. I understand they've gotten it to work on a few species, but not with humans. And where they have gotten it to work, they can only make females in mammals, never males. But the virgin birth of a son is an impossible wonder. It's impossible with man, but not impossible with God. And God's the one that made the body, ain't he? I mean, he's the one that made it. He's the one he can put what he wants in the body, and he placed his own precious son there within the womb of Mary. He was born a king at his birth. Think of that wonder. He did not become a king when he grew up like normal princes and kings. He was born king. That's because he'd always been the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yeah. But the wise men said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Think about this also. He was born a lamb at his birth. From the time of his birth, Jesus was here for only one purpose. And that's to save us from our sins as the one final holy lamb sacrificed in our place. And how fitting is that for a lamb to be born in a stable? How fitting is it for a lamb's birth to be announced to shepherds? And when you think about these things, those weren't just happenings. Okay? God does things on purpose. There's the wonder of fulfilled prophecy. There's the wonder of the virgin birth. Thirdly, there's the wonder of his very life. I mean, he is wonderful in that he lived, and he lives. Okay, he lived on this earth, and he still lives today. Jesus is a historical person. You'll find him mentioned in books of history other than just the Bible. I know Josephus mentions him. There's some others that mention him. You can't deny the fact that Jesus was a historical person. You know, people that want to deny Jesus' existence, you know, they're going against not just the Bible, they're going against the other books of history. He is wonderful in that he cared, and he still cares, doesn't he? He cared about a short tax collector named Zacchaeus in a sycamore tree. He cared about a little girl named Tabitha who had died. Cared about a widow woman as she was bearing her only son, so he raised that young man back to life for his mom's sake. He cared about lepers, even enough to touch them to heal them when you weren't supposed to touch a leper. He cared about children. He rebuked his disciples for not allowing them access to him. He cared about an adulterous woman of Samaria that he met at a well. He cared about the multitudes who followed him. And listen, he cared about me, and he cares about you. Yeah. He's wonderful in that he stayed. You think about it, he lived his life on this earth, I must say it's about 33, a little more than 33 years, maybe 33 and a half. He could have left at any time he wanted to. Could have come down off the cross. Some folks would have had their fill with the Pharisees. He could have just had his fill with the Pharisees. Oh, that's it. I'm out of here. And he could have just went back. Man, he could have in any time. But he stayed, and he gave himself as a ransom for our sin. Praise God, he stayed all the way until redemption was finished. He could have sought revenge for all the injustice that was showed to him, but he didn't. He died for even the ones that showed him injustice. The life of Christ is the greatest life ever lived. His life is the only one truth that is truly worth learning from and emulating. All the greatest of humanity is really nothing compared to Christ. You can put them all together. All the greatness of men down through the ages, all stacked together, do not even come close to the greatness of Christ. Then number four, there's the wonder of his love. 2 Corinthians 5:14, Paul said, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge if one died for all, then we're all dead." You know, when people could tell that Jesus loved them. Every person he touched knew of his love for them. His disciples knew of his love. There have been others throughout history who came to know him, and they came to know his love. And anybody who will come to him today can know of his love. The love of Christ is the secret to a heart full of joy. We are all loved by Christ. And one has never known what love truly is unless they've experienced the love of Christ. Yeah? You can't really truly understand love unless except Christ. Christ is the one that shows us true love. Every word of the Gospels is permeated with His love. Everything Jesus did was out of His great love for us. I mean, He left heaven. Why? Because He loved us. He humbled Himself because He loved us. He took our place because He loved us. He rose again because He loved us. Just the thought of His wondrous love for us should amaze and overwhelm each of us. Number five thing, there's the wonder of His death, burial, and resurrection. People just don't get up out of a grave after 3 days. They just don't. You know, there's some people that say, well, that when they died and they came back to life, I don't believe it. And they didn't really die. Because once you die, once the life actually leaves the body, nobody's going to get back in there. Scientists can't get it back in there. Doctors can't get it back in there. Once it's gone, it's gone. And you take it being gone 3 days. And then the spirit re-enters. That is a wonderful thing. Full of wonder. Only Jesus could take death and be wonderful in it. And think of the wonder of the gospel. I mean, no one killed Him apart from His allowing it. In John 10, verse 17 and 18, He says, therefore doth My Father love Me, because I lay down My life, that I might take it again. He said, no man taketh it from Me, but I lay it down of Myself. I have the power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. He did. Aren't you glad He laid it down and didn't take it back up until after it was finished? He gave up the ghost. And He fulfilled what He said He would do. That He'd be in, just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days, three nights, He was going to be in the heart of the earth. And He willfully, carefully, and specifically did some things for us in His death. Think about it. He became sin for us. He never sinned at all, yet He took the guilt of our sin in His own body. He was punished in our place. We should have gone to hell. He bore the punishment. He did not reject it like, you know, I don't know anybody that doesn't want to reject punishment. You know? Remember when your mom and dad used to get a hold of you? And you know, I remember times my daddy get a hold of me and he'd grab a hold of me and boy, he was going around like that and me trying to get away from it. That was the wrong thing to do. But people try to avoid punishment, don't they? They just really do. But He took it. He died for the very ones who were trying to kill Him. He was doing just what Isaiah 53 said would happen. It was predicted in Isaiah 53. He would be wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was going to be upon Him. Think about all those around the cross who stood amazed at the events of that day. Matthew 27, verse 54 mentions the centurion and those that were with him. He says, now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. Wonder-filled event right there on Mount Calvary. What looked like such a disaster and defeat was actually a wonderful victory. I like the way Colossians 2 verse 13 through 15 put it. It says, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. His death was wonderful in that it did not end with the grave, but it ended with a resurrection. He arose from the grave to die no more. And that's the kind of life He gives us. We died in Him. Our life is in Him. And to this very day, the greatest thing to preach about, to ponder, to rejoice in is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ because of just how truly wonderful it is. And then there's the wonder in his present ministry. Think about where he's at right now, what he's doing. Colossians 3:1 says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." Jesus is very busy in heaven right now. He's reigning. He's still saving folks. Amen. People calling out to him. He's saving them. He's preparing a place for us. He told his disciples, "I go to prepare a place for you. If I go, I will come again." And he's interceding. Aren't you glad we've got an intercessor in the Lord Jesus? Romans 8:34 says he's at the right hand of God making intercession for us. And Hebrews 7:25 says that he ever liveth to make intercession for us. And then the last of all, I want you to see there will be wonder throughout all eternity with him. I want you to think about all that we're going to learn that we don't even have a clue. We just don't really have a clue about him. Hebrews 13 verse 8 says, "Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever." Yes, he was wonderful back then. He's wonderful now. He's going to be wonderful throughout all eternity. Our hearts will be amazed at the wonder that we behold. The person of Jesus Christ, when pondered, causes great amazement and wonder in the mind and heart of a person. We've taken a time to look at that name, Wonderful, this evening. And I want you to just let it sink down deep in your heart this Christmas season, and let it change your perspective of him. Amen. Let it change your perspective of him. Behold the wonder of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, let's pull out our prayer list. We'll pray for the needs, and we'll be done for this evening.